For years and years and years, I got disciplined, I read the Bible in the morning, I prayed, I thought deeply about God, and then the whole day would go by, and I'd get ready to get in bed, and I realized I have not thought about God or Jesus since this morning. The question is, how do you hear His voice and feel connected to the Lord throughout the whole day? Well, stick around. That's what we're going to talk about.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher for this international discipleship ministry focused on helping Christians live like Christians. We appreciate you joining us as we near the end of our newest series, Jesus Is. Now, over the last several messages, Chip and his son Ryan Ingram have taught through several passages from the Gospel of John, unpacking five descriptive names Christ used to reveal more about Himself and His character. Today, Ryan will be in John chapter 15 to help us understand how we can know and experience Jesus as the true vine. So get your Bible and notes ready, and let's join Ryan with his insightful talk.
We have an obsession in our culture with new. We want new information. We want something that's kind of next along those lines. And today, I just simply want to remind you of something old. I just want to take a moment. We're going to teach actually one of my life passages, John 15. And I like how Samuel Johnson once said, it said, people need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed. And I just want to remind you of some really simple, profound things. And I think out of it, God's going to meet you significantly in our time together. Let me ask you this. What is the most important thing that you do? Like, can you think through, like, if you just had to distill it down to one thing, like, what is that one thing? Like, what's the most important thing that you do? Like, well, I'm a parent. Well, I work. I have these. I get all that. I understand you have lots of hats. But what's the one thing? What's the most important thing that you do? You figured it out? You have it? Yeah? Okay. Robbie and I, we have started coaching together. Robbie's a volleyball player. I grew up playing volleyball as well. We're coaching some junior high boys. Now, here's what's interesting is the huddle before the game, we're not trying to teach them anything new. We don't get out, okay, boys, so we have a whole new game plan. Right? We don't, you know, here's a new strategy. Let me teach you. What do you do in the huddle before the game? You remind them of what's most important. That's exactly what every coach does. Here's what's most important. Here's what we've been talking about. Here's what you need to know to be able to win the game, to be able to succeed. Jesus had a huddle. On the night he was betrayed, the Passover meal had already been eaten, the time in the upper room with his disciples. Judas had gone to betray Jesus, and most likely at this point in the evening, Jesus is walking with the 11 down the Kidron Valley, a moonlight Mediterranean night there as they're walking through, most likely probably a family local vineyard on the way to the Mount of Olives. Along the way, Jesus recognizes he has just a couple hours. Just a couple hours. He knows what's about to happen. He has just a couple hours with his disciples to press upon them, to huddle together, to tell them what is most important. Here's what he said to them. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus had known his hour had come. In a couple hours from this moment, he would be arrested, unjustly tried, flogged, beaten, stripped naked, and in less than 24 hours, he would be hanging on a cross. And he had this moment to share with this 11 before all hell breaks loose, a huddle, to say what is most important. And so in our time together, I just want to remind you of three things. I think many of you probably already know them. But I want to remind you of three things about what Jesus would say, this is most important. The first thing is that Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. He says, "I am not a vine, a nice vine, a vine that, hey, hello, this is a good thing. I am the true vine." Now, Israel, part of Israel's identity, they like to know themselves as the great golden vine. It goes all the way back. Psalm 80 says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." Again in Isaiah, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in." Israel's identity was they were the vine of God. In fact, during the Maccabean revolt, they printed their own money with the vine on it. Jesus, like I said, he's most likely walking along down the Kidron Valley, probably in a vineyard, having this conversation, talking about being the vine. And behind him is the cityscape of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem is built up on a mount. And at the center of it is the temple itself at the highest point. And at the top of the temple is a great golden vine, literally gold plated, as large as a man, that is glistening in the moonlight. And Jesus says, "I know that you think the nation of Israel and all these other things, that's the true vine." He says, "No, no, I am. I have showed up. I am the true vine." See, aren't there so many things in our lives that are begging for us, calling us, saying, "No, no, no, this is the true vine. Stay connected to me. If you connect to this, you'll have life. If you connect to this." I like how Jesus said it. You remember, we've talked about this throughout the series. When he says that declaration, "I am," it's not just like a nice saying. He's connecting. He's with God's covenant, Yahweh, I am name. I'm the author of life, and fundamentally, I am offering you life, and there is no other life outside of me. You can search for it, you can run for it, you can look for all these different areas, but fundamentally, I am life. I am the true vine. True, this idea of true means genuine, real, authentic, as opposed to false or counterfeit. Here's the interesting part, is we take good things and make them ultimate things, thinking somehow they'll actually become the source of life. Your job, your career, your family, even ministry, the perfect person, others' approval. And friends, I just want to remind you of something that I think many of you already know. Jesus alone is the true vine. You can search everywhere else. You can look, you can run, you can try it all, and ultimately you'll come up empty. Come to him, seek him. So let me ask you, what are you looking to bring fulfillment? What are you looking to bring satisfaction? Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Then he goes on to say this, that God is the Father gardener. God is the Father gardener, and my Father is the gardener. My Father is the vintner. I love this because it's not just anyone who's the vintner, anyone who's just going along and caring for this, but it is your perfect heavenly Father who loves you, who delights in you, who longs for your very best. He says, I'm the one who's coming alongside to care and to cultivate in your life. I want you to notice what the Father Gardener does. The Father Gardener does two things. He positions us first. He positions us. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Here's our Greek word. And I don't like to pick on translations too much, but on this one, this is the Greek word iro. And many times throughout, it's translated in the New Testament, it literally is to lift up or to take up, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's that Greek word iro here. And in the context, in the ancient day, viticulture was very similar to our present day. They would trellis the vines, and what would happen was you would have this branch that would be hanging down low that might have gotten covered with dust or dirt and it wasn't thriving. Well, that branch has the potential for all this fruit bearing. They wouldn't cut it away right away. In fact, what a vintner would do, a gardener would come down and would wash the vine and lift it up into the sun, put it on that trellis for it to thrive. And the Father Gardener says, I want to position you to flourish. And I know you feel trampled down, and I know you feel dirty. And he's going like, I want to actually take you and wash you and cleanse you and lift you up into the light. He positions us. He positions you.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and we'll continue our series, Jesus Is, in just a second. But let me ask you, do you feel bombarded by negative, depressing, or even sinful thoughts? If you want some help to overcome them, join us after the teaching as Chip talks about the importance of renewing our minds with God's Word and highlights a resource that can help you take every thought captive. So stick around to learn more. With that, here again is our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram.
In fact, that's some of your story of even how you ended up of the drawing of God. And you're like, I just woke up and I just needed to go to church. I didn't know where to go. And I showed up and all of a sudden I was positioned in a community of care. I was positioned under the Word of God. I was positioned into this incredible small group. And he positions you. I was just thinking about my small group this last week. It's like so good for my soul. Like we just have this incredible group and I love it. But to be with a community that cares for one another, that's praying for one another, that's opening God's word, that when we're going through a hard time, like we have, you know, a Discord chat thing where we're going through, like he positions you for flourishing and moves you into the light. And then this is the harder one. He prunes you. Well, every branch in me that does bear fruit, he what? It's bearing fruit. Think about this. Every branch in me that does bear fruit, he what? Prunes. So you're being fruitful and he's going to prune you. And some of you are complaining about it. And the Father Gardener says it's for your best so that you'll be even more fruitful. Well, it hurts. It does. It's cutting back. It's taking some areas that you're like, oh, I really like that. And he's like, no, I'm going to cut that out for a season because I actually want to help you grow in this way. You know, you prune for a few different reasons. One, you prune because of overgrowth. In fact, those who prune, especially like a tree or something like this, and we have all this overgrowth. Overgrowth means that the plant is fundamentally trying to like sustain the growth and it can't produce the fruit that's necessary. And so you get really weak, lame fruit, but you have a lot going on. And then you prune disease. Things that have grown up that have a little bit of disease that left to itself will eventually take over the whole plant and will kill it or cripple it. Where we allow the disease of thoughts into our mind, of patterns of thinking, we allow the disease of words that come out of our mouth, the way that we pattern and live our lives with people. And he says, I want to prune those things out of your life. And then the other areas, dead areas, areas that are dead. And so until you cut off that which is dead, the plant will not thrive. And for some, you just need to hear this. There are dead areas in your life that you've been clinging onto that God wants to cut out, that you need to let go of because it's not allowing you to thrive. And there's habitual sin that we let into our life. Patterns. Just got news of a couple we knew back in the day, kind of college days, and just found out guy's been having an affair for a couple years. They have a family of three, and it just blew up their entire family. And, you know, as we're talking about it, it just is one of those things of like, you don't ever think, hey, I'm going to go out and have an affair. What you think is, you know, life's really hard at home. My wife's not being very nice, or my husband's not being very nice, or this isn't the way I envisioned it. And we're just having a nice conversation. And then, you know what? Oh, you just really get me and understand me. It wouldn't ever go that far. That's the reason you keep taking steps that direction, because you don't ever believe you would cross that line. And you're like, no, it's not that big of a deal. And then one day you wake up and you shipwreck your entire family. Friends, I just got to tell you, for some, you have to cut out a relationship in your life. And you've been going down a path, and I don't know what it is, but you've been going down that path, and it's dead. And it will shipwreck your life. The Father Gardener, he positions us, and then he prunes us. Now, here's what we must remember about the Father. You have a perfect heavenly Father. Think about this. Who is intimately involved in your life, whose love compels him to do whatever is necessary for your flourishing. As you experience the pruning of God, some of the painful cutting back, maybe it's the stepping aside in some seasons of that were once flourishing, you have a perfect heavenly Father who's intimately involved in your life, whose love compels him to do whatever is necessary for your flourishing, which does mean at times cutting back and cutting out. Jesus is the true vine. God is the Father Gardener. Our part, your part, my part, is to abide. Is to abide. Did you notice that? I read several verses. How many times? Remain, abide, repeated. Jesus knows he's just got a couple hours. What do I want to make sure I tell you? All hell is about to break loose. The shepherd's going to be struck down. His disciples are going to scatter. The next 72 hours, it looks like the movement has fundamentally died. And what is he going to tell them? Abide. Remain. Remain in me. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. The Greek word remain is meno. It's a verb. It's in the present active, meaning that this is something that you're currently doing. This isn't like, hey, I made this decision once. It's an action that you say, okay, I wake up today and I'm going to remain in you. As I go about my driving, oh, what does that look like to remain in Jesus? Oh boy, that may change some of my hand gestures and honking. Okay, as I get to work, as I engage with my family, as I engage with my friends, as I go out, what does it look like to remain, to continue a certain state, a condition or activity, to stay with and to abide? Well, what is abiding? Abiding is to be daily present and attentive to Jesus. To be daily present and attentive to Jesus. Okay, God, I'm going to be attentive to you today. You're the author of life, authoring me life. You probably have a lot to tell me about my day. I want to be attentive to you. And then Jesus would say it this way. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so abiding is deeply connected to obeying Jesus' words. I think we have a lot of people who believe Jesus but don't obey Jesus. Let me say that again. We believe Jesus, but we don't obey Jesus and what he says in our daily lives. Now, here's the thing. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I just want to reverse that for us for a second. If we understood his love for us, if you could understand that he understood that what was about to come before him, that he was going to be brutally executed because of love. Love compelled him to the cross for you and for me. If you understood the depths of his love for you, you would go, absolutely. How could I not? I know you have your very best for me. Abiding is just to be daily present. And then going, okay, Jesus, what do you have for me? What do I need to do? How do I respond? See, there's a spiritual axiom, connectedness determines fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, connectedness, just being connected. Like, we want to be fruitful in our lives. Many of you are high achievers. Determinedness doesn't determine fruitfulness. Connectedness does. Jesus would say, what is the most important thing that you do? I don't know how you answered that. Jesus' answer is abide. What is fruit? What a plant produces on the outside that other people can see and benefit from. It's the visible evidence of the inner working power. It's what other people come and experience. See, that's what we need, a bunch of fruit-filled followers of Jesus. And that doesn't happen by trying harder. It happens by abiding and remaining, staying connected to Jesus. It's as simple and as difficult as that. Apostle Paul would define the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I miss one every single time. That's why I was doing that. I always miss one. Don't you want to be around someone who's loving and joy-filled and patient and gentle and kind and self-control and is faithful? Like, don't you want to be a person who's love-filled and gentle and at peace and, oh, like, absolutely. And imagine if we were a group of people so deeply connected to Jesus, and he says the fruit of that will spill out and other people experience that. Dallas Willard would say, abiding is the source of love, joy, peace, and all of our fruitfulness. So let me just ask you, are you deeply connected to Jesus? No shame, no, like, I walked in feeling dry. I walked in feeling disconnected. And I would say that's where a lot of us are, right? We run hard. We're trying to somehow, like, figure out and connect. But if we're honest, we're dry, we're weary, and we do feel disconnected. There's this picture that I love. Bernard of Clairvaux gave it a long time ago, and it's the difference between a river and a reservoir, if I can give you one more picture. And the point he was making is, in life, we often operate like a river. And a river, whatever comes in immediately goes out. And we get information, even moments like that, what's happening now. It's like, how do I take it in and just use it? And how do I bring this in to get on with my life? And he said, what we need to be is more of reservoirs. See, the difference between a river and a reservoir, river, whatever goes in, immediately gushes out. A reservoir, it only begins to give out of the overflow. Once it fills up, then it begins to pour forth. See, what I want and what we need in the invitation of Jesus is to be reservoirs, where instead of rushing on to the next, we sit with our Savior. We're connected. You'll experience the fruit-filled life that way. That joy and that peace, that patience, and other people will experience you that way, where you just wait on him, where you're just present with him, where you recognize Jesus' words to his disciples all the way back then are the same words he would say to us. What's the most important thing you do? And I do. Stay connected to him. Everything else flows from that, friends. everything else flows from that. We get so worried about our work and our kids and all. Like, if you stay so connected to him, I just got to tell you, everything else flows from that. So hold on.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Ryan Ingram has been our guest teacher for this program, The True Vine, which is from our series, Jesus Is. He and Chip will be back in studio shortly to share their application for this message. It's been said that one of the wonderful things about knowing God is that there's always more to know. So even though God is infinite, it can still be a joy for us to learn more and more about who he is. And that's what Chip and his son Ryan Ingram are doing in this series based in the Gospel of John. Join us as they highlight seven phrases Jesus used to describe himself that gave us a more spectacular glimpse into his character, authority, and love for us. If you missed any part of this series, catch up through the Chip Ingram app or at livingontheedge.org. Our Bible teacher, Chip Ingram, is back with us. And Chip, today Ryan talked about Jesus as the true vine and explained why he is our exclusive connection to God, which is not a universal belief among Christians today. So take a minute and talk about a tool we've created to refocus our minds on the truth of the Bible. Walk us through how it works.
Yeah, Dave. What's being challenged here is what we believe. And so we call these truth cards. Let me give you an example. The lie says, there are many paths to God, and no one really knows what God is like. And you put a stop sign on the bottom of that, and then I flip that card over, and right there in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus, he has explained him. Literally, the word is, he exegeted him, he explained him, full of truth and grace. What I want you to know is that you can quench the lies and fill your mind with God's truth in a way that literally is transformational. And so what we would love to do is put these in your hands so you can just review them. I find doing it at night before I go to bed, not trying even to memorize, just pondering and thinking and doing three or four or five cards. You do a few of those before you go to bed. It goes into your subconscious mind. It's amazing how your mind is renewed, because what do we all know? What did Jesus promise in John chapter 8? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen, Chip. Well, to order your set of Gospel of John truth cards, go to livingontheedge.org or call us at 888-333-6003. As you read through and meditate on these 21 cards, you'll expose the lies we've bought or fallen into and replace them with the rock-solid truth of God's Word. To learn more about this helpful tool, visit livingontheedge.org or call 888-333-6003. App listeners, tap special offers. Here now is Chip and his son Ryan to share a few final thoughts.
Hey, Ryan, great message today. I really, you know, I say I enjoy it. Actually, what I really mean is it was clear, it was powerful, it was practical, and God used it in my life. You know, as we wrap up the program, this idea of connectedness determines fruitfulness. Could you take just a minute and maybe talk about what are practical ways that you stay connected to the Lord throughout the day?
Absolutely. You know, I think this is such a challenge for us because we live in such a fast-paced, busy world with just constant things clamoring for our attention, don't we? Our souls are rushed, anxious, and overwhelmed. And so, to be connected to Jesus, we have to set aside regular time to be with him. You know, when I was in college, I had a personal rhythm where I didn't do any homework unless I spent time with Jesus. And so most days I'd be at a coffee shop and spend time with Jesus there in the coffee shop and then begin to dive into my homework. When I started in the work world, I applied those same principles. Before I start work, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And honestly, I love starting my day with him. And so let me ask you, what is a time that works for you to be with Jesus every day? You don't have to be with Jesus long, but that dailiness helps you be connected. Secondly, to be connected with Jesus, we have to disconnect from distractions. Our phones are the great distractions of our lives, aren't they? And if mine is close by, I just instinctively pick it up, start scrolling without thinking. Pretty soon, minutes, sometimes an hour or so goes by and I don't even notice. And so here's what I have to do. I just leave my phone on the charger in the morning. I go into my living room and spend time with Jesus, and I just journal my prayers and get into God's word. You know, in a noisy world, I think one of the most powerful soul-shaping things we can do is pause and be still before God. It was said that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And so, real practically, would you just take 1 minute or 5 minutes each day just to be silent? Breathe deeply and invite the Holy Spirit to meet you and speak to you.
Good practical advice for us to apply to our lives, Ryan. Thanks. As we wrap up, I want to thank those of you who make this program possible through your generous financial support. Your gifts help us create programs, purchase airtime, and develop additional resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge, would you consider sending a gift today? You can do that by visiting livingontheedge.org or calling 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003 or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate. We want you to know how much we appreciate your support. We'll listen in next time as our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram, wraps up our series, Jesus Is. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.